Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Morning, not just those here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in online in iChurch. And we are thankful to say that iChurch is going out in English and Spanish this morning. Hallelujah. And so we want to thank them for tuning in. If you will, turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matayahu, the 6th chapter. And as we are turning, we have been talking about the kingdom. And in talking about the kingdom, we've been talking about accessing his greatness. When you understand how his kingdom works, when you understand that there is more to church than just showing up and listening to some music.
Amen.
You need to open up your ears to actually hear the word that is going forth, because that word is going to have a seed in it that's going to sprout up and grow and make change in your life. Who wants change in their life, right? And so that is why we seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for this coming week, because guess what? This week, you got some stuff coming. You got some challenges. You got some things that are going to manifest. And don't you want to handle that with all of the wisdom that you can? And so that is what we've been talking about. Why be in a kingdom? Because when you became believers, you entered into a kingdom. And not know how it works. Don't you want to know how to be able to function and move and pray and know how to do those things? Well, there's a way that it works. And so I'm thankful that we have come to knowledge and understanding that we share. And so we were talking about how the Bible actually speaks of the kingdom in three different ways. It speaks of just the kingdom. It speaks of the kingdom of God. And it speaks of the kingdom of heaven. And so someone that really does not want to obtain knowledge might say, oh, well, it doesn't make no difference. But that's kind of like a default. When you don't know something, we go to that. Well, you know, you should be using so-and-so and so-and-so because that's the best thing. Oh, it don't make no difference. Yeah, it does. Anybody cook? Do we have people that still cook? Hallelujah. Come on. Represent cooking. And somebody might say, baby, you should use just regular salt in your greens, because you use Lawry's, it might make it too salt. Well, there is some wisdom from that. Who uses Lawry's in their greens? Who uses regular salt? I'm just saying. Because sometimes that you get crazy with that Lawry's and you end up making yourself too what? Salty. But that's wisdom that we can apply, right? And so a lot of times we want to know, but what we'll say is, oh, it don't make no difference, let's use Larry, let's use whatever. But we find that that is not what? True. And the result is that you got salty greens. But when we don't want to take other people's advice and we think we got it, we say, it don't make no what? Difference. And then later on, we find out what? And I have an example of that. I love banana pudding. I do. And, you know, somebody had made some banana pudding and they get, and I said, man, this was before I was married, so no fault against my wife. You know, now she got the best banana pudding ever, but before I was saved, before I met her, I had tasted some banana pudding. And I said, well, okay, well, how did you make this? And so they were like, okay, I'll give you the recipe. So in this particular recipe, I would think that, you know, at that time, you know, I was, this was before MasterChef and all that. I tried to do a little something myself in the kitchen. It's a bachelor. So I was like, well, I can make some sugar too. So I got this recipe. And the recipe called for vanilla pudding. But I was like, nah, I'm going to use, because this was the instant quick one. This wasn't the old school, I'm going to boil that thing and I'm going to bake that thing. You know, who knows old school boil and bake? Okay, I ain't got time for that. All right. So I wanted an instant thing. So I said, okay, well, it seems to me that banana pudding would be better. But what had happened was, when I strayed from the recipe and used the banana instead of the vanilla, and I put all the, I used banana pudding and put all the bananas in, and it was nasty. And I was like, wait, hold up. I mean, it should have worked. And so I went, I said, so-and-so, this don't taste like yours. She was like, I know what you did. I said, what? She was like, you use banana pudding, instant banana pudding, then instant vanilla pudding. I said, well, yeah, because I make a banana. She said, specifically, the vanilla. You know what? While I'm telling you this, I'm looking at Mother Parker, and she's like, I know that was nasty. So you agree that it should have been, she agrees that it should have been vanilla. But my attitude was what? It don't matter. And the result was that I just got a big bowl of some nasty stuff that I can't eat. And so that's how the kingdom operates. There's a certain formula, certain recipe. And a lot of believers fall short because they're doing it their own way. It don't take all that. It don't matter. Let me tell you, when it comes to kingdom stuff, yeah, it matters. It takes all that. You got to do it the right way because you got too much to lose. This is your life that you're dealing with. And so when he's talking about the kingdom, these three different things, and I had heard some people, oh, it don't matter if he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. It don't matter if he's talking about the kingdom of God. Yes, I found, as a person that's studying his word, it does matter. And so we found out that the kingdom of God, or we use God's original name, formal name, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the kingdom of God, or Yahweh, actually means something. When we see the kingdom of God in Scripture, it means the nature and the character of Yahweh, or God. Can we put that up, please? The nature and character of Him. That means that when we see that in Scripture, He's talking about His what? Nature, character. And what is His nature and His character? His spirit. There are attributes of Him that come into play, right? So the kingdom of Yahweh is the nature and character of Yahweh. Secondly, there's a statement called the kingdom of heaven. And we find in Scripture that the kingdom of heaven actually means what? A geographic location. And in this geographic location, the government and the systems of Yahweh are what? Seated. That's where they operate. That's where they what? That's where they dispatch and things happen, right? And that's actually a geographic location. Come on. The kingdom of God is actually his nature, his character. Then the third thing is the kingdom. And the beautiful thing about the kingdom, that is the culture. That is the culture that is of dominion and rule where? Right here on earth. This is where the power and the dominion is unleashed. So if I can help you a little bit, I kept on, as I was studying this, I kept on, like, I'm going to get somebody to do me a graphic, to do a picture for me. Because I'm not very, you know, when it comes to artsy stuff, and so weeks and weeks gone by, and I didn't get it done. And so Yahweh said, man, just do it yourself. So I said, well, I don't want no crazy little picture. He said, do it on a computer. So I got a picture that I made of what we're talking about. Y'all want to see it?
Yes.
And don't laugh. I did a stick man. Yes, I did. And that's cool. Because in the study, when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the geographic location, bam. That's right there. And what are these little rays? That is the influence. Those are the things that are ready to be unleashed. Ooh.
Come on.
Are you guys ready for this? So this is where the systems and the government of Yahweh are seated. This is where the instructions go out. This is where things are called on. Angels are dispatched. This is where Yahweh himself dwells. And that is the kingdom of Yahweh. So, when we talked of, I mean, that is the kingdom of heaven. So when we talked about the kingdom of Yahweh, go here. And we talked about this. Luke, go to Luke 17. Keep that picture in the front of your mind. Luke, the 17th chapter, the 20th verse. So what is the kingdom of God? The what? Nature and character of him. So Luke 17:20 says what? And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when is the kingdom of God or Yahweh should come? And Yeshua answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God, Yahweh, cometh not with observation. It's not something that you can see. But rather, the 21st verse says, neither can a person say, lo, it's over there, or it's over here. It says, behold, the kingdom of God or Yahweh is what? It's in you. And these were church folks that had all of their religiosity and they were speaking their Christianese. You heard them. They say, look, praise God. These were folks that they had the Savior right smack in their face. And they did not even acknowledge that he was the one that was sent. And then they had it there to say, well, where is the kingdom? I mean, when is it going to come? He said, hey, he was like, basically, look at me. And the kingdom what? It doesn't come with observation. The kingdom is with you. So let's go back to our picture. So he says, the nature and the character of Yahweh, if you possess the Holy Spirit, there it is. There to say there it is.
There it is.
There it should be. So the kingdom of Yahweh is what? It's right in you. So that means, okay, so we have the kingdom of heaven. We have the kingdom of Yahweh, which is within us. Where are we? On the earth. Then we find out, let's go to the definition of the kingdom. The kingdom is the culture that is of dominion and rule in the earth. It's the power and the authority that is on the what? Earth. It's the influence. So how can we change things that are on the earth? How can the kingdom itself be manifested? How is the dominion and rule in the earth manifested? Go to the other picture that we have there. And the other picture is this. It's a picture of influence. Are you ready for influence? When you pray in faith and you have the kingdom of Yah within you, when you pray in faith, you send that up. That is, and so whatever that request is made known to the kingdom of heaven. And then the kingdom of heaven says, yay, I'm going to operate on so-and-so's behalf. So then the kingdom is then manifested right here on earth in your favor. Things change. Things happen because he can't just do stuff. There are laws and rules of the kingdom that operate. Because who's working down here on this earth? Well, who else is working? Your adversary. So, y'all, do you know he's working against you? Do you know he's fighting against you? Do you know he's doing all kinds of stuff to deter you? And so he's trying to wreak havoc here on the earth. And so if you want some stuff to change, you got to believe, first of all, that you got the power within. And then when you send that thing up, Yahweh says, okay, let me have an effect. Let me move. Let me operate. And then bam, the kingdom is manifested on the things of the earth that are around you. So now you got what? You got kingdom, the kingdom of God, Yahweh operating in you. You got the kingdom of heaven working in your behalf. And the things that are around you that need to be changed are, bam, manifested. But you got to believe that this is how this thing works. So let's go here. I have to show you the picture. I have to show you the picture first. Okay, so go to Matthew 6, 33. And I have to say this because we get distracted. So go to the sixth verse, to the sixth chapter. Matthew 6, Matityahu. We like to use the Hebrew names as we use the Hebrew names of the Savior. Yeshua, you hear that time and time again. That's his actual original Hebrew name. The name Jesus didn't come to 1611. So, of course, the Savior's been, you know, in operation over 2,000 years. So what were they calling him before that? Yeshua. And so we find this. And so Matthew 6, 33. I'm sorry, 6 to 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh. So go here. Go back to the picture. I'm sorry, I'm going to make y'all work on that thing today. He says, seek first the nature and the character of Yahweh. See, on earth, it's difficult. Because on earth, you see all this blue stuff? It's a bunch of stuff. In that blueness, there's cars up in there, there's houses up in there, there's money up in there, there's women up in there. Hold up, what? There's all kinds of ladies, there's men's up in there. Everything that you can imagine is up in there. And so in all that blueness, who's going to stand for the kingdom? Who's going to bring the light? Who's going to bring the glory? So that's you. Look at us. That's you. Well, that's me right there. You got to get your own stick figure. And so here, when he says, listen, it's easy for y'all to seek the blue stuff. Then that stuff is whatever you want. Drinking, drugs, partying, clubbing is in the blueness. My question is, are you in the blue or are you in the gold? So he says, listen, humans have a tendency to seek the blue. They have a tendency to just seek stuff. But he said, hold up. If you seek my nature and my character first, go back to the verse. And in addition to that, my righteousness. And what is the righteousness of Yahweh? His son, Yeshua. Seek my son. Seek my nature and character. And guess what? All the stuff or the things shall what? Be added unto you. So turn, go back to the picture. So don't seek the stuff first. Seek him first. And guess what? Before you know it, ooh, bam, there's, bam, he's created some stuff. Bam, he's given you the car. Bam, he's given you the godly life. Not the wife, but the godly wife. Sisters, not the husband, but the godly husband. Because you out there, you got a list. Ladies, I know you got listesses. He gotta be 6'8". He have to have an athletic build. He gotta work out 3 times a day. He gotta have light brown eyes. He can't be bald-headed unless he chooses to be. Somebody didn't catch that. They don't want nobody who bald-headed because they can't do nothing else. They want somebody who can grow hair if they can, and if he feels like being bald-headed, and it can grow back. They don't want a bro like me who just can't, you can't grow that stuff back. You just gotta lifelong fade. That's 6'8". 6'8", athletic build, light eye, demon could be the worst thing that ever walked into your life. And yet that godly 5'5", that could change your life forever. And you're like, I don't want him. He ain't got nothing to offer me. Wow. Why did I say all that? Because you seek the stuff. But if you seek the character and kingdom of Yahweh, ooh, that little bald-headed short man be the best thing that ever walked into your life. And all the things that are for you are going to be what? Added to you. All the things that are good for you are going to what? Be added to you. All of the things that you could ever want. And if you seek his character, before you even fix your mouth to ask for it, he done already manifested it for you. Right? And all those things. So we got to stop seeking the stuff, but seek the character. Say, don't seek the stuff. Seek the character. And when we do that, something amazing happens in our life. So let's go here. Let's go to, I got to say this one thing. Go to Luke, the 9th chapter. And I didn't mean to add this in my own mind, but the Holy Spirit added it. I was having a conversation. We're talking about the kingdom of Yahweh, his character and nature. Amen. And when we go to Luke, the 9th chapter, the 59th verse, and it says this. So this is Yeshua. He was looking for people for the kingdom. He was looking for people that were going to work for the kingdom, to be about the kingdom, to be about his business.
Come on now.
Okay? This is what he was looking for. Father, seeking. And so here in the Luke, the 9th chapter, he says what? and Yeshua. And he said to another, he said, follow me. If you want change in your life, if you want to be transformed, I'm telling you something. You need to what? Follow me. I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you, right? But the person that he said that to said, Lord, suffer me, allow me first to go bury my daddy. Go back to the 6th. He said, go bury my father. I want to follow you, but let me go back. And the 6th verse said, Yeshua said to him, do, let the dead bury the dead. That sounds cold-blooded, do it. But you know what? It's truth. He was like, I'm trying to lead you to life. And you want to go back? He said, dude, I'm telling you, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the character of Yahweh, the nature of Yahweh. Go tell people how can they be better, that they should pursue that. And then the 61st verse said, okay, some other guy. And another also said, Lord, what's this? You know, anytime you're interrupting stuff in church, they would always. Remember that? Any old school people in here? Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready to go up and excuse me. I got some other stuff to do. I know you're preaching, but at least to show some respect, though. People now, they just get on up. But this will always be, hey, give me a moment. Excuse me, right? And so as another said, Lo, I'm going to follow you. But let me first go bid them farewell. Let me say goodbye to the homies in them. Let me go back to the, you know, my little honey, you know, my little shorty over here. Let me go and say to them in my house, I'm about to do something, but I'll be back. He said, dude, let me tell you something. 62nd verse. He said, listen, you got it? He says, and Yeshua said unto him, let me tell you something, dude, that want to go back and say goodbye to everybody, want to go back to your old life, want to go back to your old ways, want to go back to the old system of how you've been doing things. Let me tell you something. If you put your hand on the plow and you look back to your past life, you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not fit for the character. You're not fit for the nature of Yahweh. Because evidently, it's not enough for you. You want to go back to the old stuff. So I'm telling y'all, he's looking for some saints that are going to rise up and represent the character and nature of the kingdom, that don't want to go back to the old dude. Don't want to go back to the old way of thinking and doing stuff. And it might sound cold-blooded, but you know what? It's the truth anyhow. He's looking for somebody who's going to stand up for the kingdom. Not like, I'm going to follow you, but let me do this here. Let me follow you, but let me go club tonight. I'm going to follow you, but you know, I got to go drink with the girls. Or maybe let's not go extreme. I'm going to follow you, but I think I got a better idea. I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to lean to my own understanding because I think I know better than you.
Come on now.
Why is it quiet in here? One day, can we just get some saints that believe in the power and the authority that are ready to manifest the power down here on earth? Because the power comes with manifestation. Go back to the picture. Go back to the influence picture. The power comes. Listen, The kingdom itself, this right here, it's gotta be manifested. But the only way for the kingdom itself, man, I got so happy my thing went out. Yeah. For the kingdom itself to be manifested, it takes some people with the Holy Ghost up inside of them to be used to manifest the kingdom. It's time for some believers to take charge of some stuff down here on earth. We're so distracted with the blue stuff, we're not interested in going with the gold stuff. And he knew that so easily. Distracted. And so go here. Go to Matthew. I'm about to, I can't get to it all. What's up with that? So go here to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And that's what he wants. He wants the kingdom manifested, but because of the rules and stuff, Satan's world. It's Satan's world. It's Satan's playground. But if the believer believes enough to send up those prayers in faith to Yahweh where he is seated, then things change and manifest here on the earth. He's got to have our permission. You guys don't understand that. The scripture that says the harvest is truly ripe, but the laborers are few. He said, pray that the Father sent laborers. Well, why don't the Father just send laborers? He can't do it unless you pray to ask for them. Because when you pray, you give him permission to intervene. You give him permission to say, I see a need, and I believe that it can change. We need the power. And guess what? Boom, the power is manifested. Does anybody believe that? So, the 13th verse says, when Yeshua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say I am? What are people saying about me? And he said, what? 14th verse says, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, we know Johannes the Baptist, but John the Baptist is one the voice that cried in the wilderness, trying to prepare the way for Yeshua, right? Some say Elias, the prophet, right? Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets, Jeremias. 15. And they say, some say, he said unto them, but who do you? Come on now. I'm not saying that I don't have the attributes of those other ones, but when you get those other ones, you get a part of me. Because they believed on me and they were operating in me. So you think of Jeremiah, so you only get a little piece. You get a Yermiyahu, Elias, you only get a piece. You get Johannes the Baptist, you only get a piece. I'm not saying that I'm not associated with, those are my boys. And some of my power was manifested in them. But who do you say? 16 verse, he says, Simon Kephar, Peter answered and said, thou art the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. 17th verse says, what? And Yeshua answered and said unto him, you blessed. See, now, if you realize who I am, you got the revelation. It's been revealed to you. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I hope we got 18 there. Do we got 18 there? The next verse, he says, so now, hold up. Now that you got this revelation, now that you know who I am. See, the thing about it is that, yeah, Johannes the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, all those dudes, you only get a piece. If you believe that I'm them, you only get a piece of me. But if you believe that I am the chosen one, that I am the Messiah, you get everything. You get everything. There is nothing held back from you. And so he says, because you got this, because you believe this, upon this rock, upon the person that believes. Hallelujah. Upon the one that is revealed to them who I really am. I'm going to build my church. And guess what? There are going to be gates of hell that are going to try to prevail. There's going to be gates of hell that are going to try to resist. There are going to be all kinds. He's going to throw everything at you and the kitchen sink. But he said, but the gates of hell will not. Listen, tell your neighbor, they're going to try. Because he said, if the gates are not going to prevail, guess what? They're trying to prevail. Tell your neighbor one more time, I said they're going to try. But guess what? Tell your neighbor, but the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They're not going to be successful. They're not going to triumph. And some of y'all, he done already tried something. But let me encourage you this morning. You better stand. You better resist. You better fight. You better do it. You better do it. And 19th verse says what? He says what in the 19th verse? And because, and this is where I left off last time, man. He said, and because you believe this, and because I will build my church on you, and because the gates of hell will not prevail against this, I'm going to give you something. Because you believe, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Hold up. Go back to the picture. Go back to the picture. So, guess what, y'all? If you really believe, hey, there's some stuff here that can be unlocked. And he's saying, you can't access it unless I give you the key. Go back to the scripture. So it says what? Because you believe, because you have the nature and character of me, because you believe in faith, and when I pray, you're sending up something. And I know who you are. And go back to the scripture that says what? Go back to that verse, 18. So it says what? Next one, 19. And guess what? Because of this, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. So, guess what, saints? What do you know about keys? Yeah. Keys unlock some stuff. Hold up. But guess what keys do? Keys also lock some stuff down that don't need to come out, that don't need to be accessed. Hey, poverty, sickness, you better get that key and lock it up. There's some stuff that gives you the power to unlock some stuff. And it gives you the power to lock some stuff up. And I look around this room, there's some folks that need to lock some stuff up. Because what? He says, and with those keys, whatever you bind in heaven,
all right,
is going to be what?
Bound on earth.
What you bound on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you what? We need to exercise our power of binding and loosing. There's some stuff that has been messing with you for years, but you've just been taking it. But hey, I'm trying to tell you, get the key to lock it up, and it ain't gonna bother you no more. You better lock it up. You better bind it. And then there's some stuff. There's some prosperity, some things that have just been evading you. Peace, shalom, peace of mind. Relief from depression. You need to release that right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Who needs the keys? That's all I got to say. And I said this last time. Listen, listen, you better get this. He's not giving up keys to just anybody. I got a halfway decent truck sitting out there. But I'm not going to pass it to nobody that can't handle.
Come on now.
I ain't giving nobody that don't have the character and nature of Yahweh. Some of y'all don't have the stuff you need because you haven't developed the character of the kingdom. You're going after some other stuff. And he's saying, listen. if you really pursue me, yeah. I'm going to give you the key. But some of y'all need to grow up your souls. Grow up. Some of y'all not ready for it. But guess what? He's trying to release this knowledge to you right now so that you can prepare yourself. Are you ready for the overpouring? Are you ready for the outflowing? Do we got anybody that's seeking the character and the nature of Yahweh? Come on. And then some of them are like, well, why is he hollering? Listen, I ain't trying to holler. I'm just determined. I'm just convinced that serving my Savior is the only way to go. And when I talk about what he has access to, I just get excited. Is anybody else excited about the access? I can't stop getting excited when I think about everything that he's done. When I think about the love that he has for us, when I think about the sacrifice he made for us, when I think about how undeserving I am, but yet he still hands me the keys if I believe. I'm just saying, Father, I want your nature. I want your character, Father. And I'm willing to forsake everything else for your nature and for your character. Nothing is going to hold me back from your nature and your character. And he's saying, I just need some. He says, the Father is seeking. The Father is looking for folk that are ready to lay down everything and follow him. He's looking for folks that believe that he's more than enough for them. I'm asking, any saints believe that the Savior is more than enough for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you right now. In the precious name that is above every name, the name that Kepha said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And your response was, since you know who I am, this is what I'm going to build my church on, like-minded people like you who know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you are convinced of my deity and power. And because of that, I'm giving you the keys. Father, we thank you for like-minded believers who believe that you're everything, who know that you're everything, who have testimony of the fact that you have changed us, you have transformed us, you have pulled us out of darkness, put us in light. So we're thankful. We're excited about you. Keep ministering to us the importance of us being convinced that you are who you say you are. You do what you say you're gonna do. You manifest what you say you're gonna manifest. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you. And we hold on to that. And we stand on that. And we speak that. And we believe that. And we give you that glory and the honor and all of the praises. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 If I could just have you be seated for a moment and bow your head. Tomorrow is not a day that is promised. It's not a day that is guaranteed. Yet, he has given us today. Yet, he has given us this kairos moment. And in the Greek, that is the moment that a decision is made. A moment that You have to decide. That is Kairos. And we have that right now. And in this moment, we have to decide, what do we want? Do we want the kingdom or not? So there may be someone here that says, I want the kingdom. I've tried it my way. I've done my thing. I've leaned to my own understanding. But in the Hebrew, there is no word for coincidence. Things just don't just happen. This is a moment that we have an opportunity to make a decision. So if you're saying, I know he's been calling me, and I want new life, I want a new beginning, I want what he's saying that he can offer me. Peace, love, sound mind, salvation. If you want that today, it's available. And the heads are bowed, and all you have to do is say, Pastor Tom, I want you to pray for me that I receive that today. And you acknowledge that by raising your hand. And the enemy tries to say, oh, people are looking, people are looking, people are looking. Don't worry about that. Heads are bowed. If you want change, raise your hand this morning and you can get it. Hallelujah. That's one. That's two. Hallelujah. This is new life. This is transformation. Second call. Maybe you have had a relationship with the Savior. Maybe you were baptized and all of that. Get away. You're not where you should be. You've drifted away. And he is the God of restoration. He is the God of the second chance. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. But if you want restoration today, it's available. Just raise your hand. This is the moment. Restoration. If you want restoration, he's got it for you. All right. So everybody keep your head bowed. For those who raise their hands, I want you to meet me halfway. I want you to come get what you want prayer for right now, with that turn, that transformation, that rededication, that salvation, whatever it is. Come, let's pray for it. Let's get it. If you raise your hand, let's get it today. Hallelujah. Let's get it today if you raise your hands for that. And we'll pray right here, right now. Today is the day. Today.